Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Fair Data Podcast, where we discuss all things fair, making data findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. This is a special edition of the Fair Data Podcast, one of a series of events kicking off a celebration of the RDA's 10th anniversary. More about that later. I'm Rory McNeil, host of the Fair Data Podcast, and my guests today are Tibor Kalman and Sven Bingert. Sven and Tibor are both leading innovators in the PID world, so it's really exciting to have them both on. And I think given the emergence of PID development as possibly the hottest fair topic, it's appropriate that they're headlining this special edition. Tibor and Sven are both at GVDK, a service organization which works in conjunction with the University of Göttingen and the Max Planck Society as a data and IT service center. The GVDK also carries out independent research in the field of computer science. Sven and Tibor, welcome. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Rory. Thanks for the introduction, and it's great, a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Rory. I look forward to our conversation.
Great. Thank you both. So I think when most people think of PIDs, frankly, they just see the tip of the iceberg, and people in the scientific community and the research data management are certainly familiar with things like ORCID IDs and DOIs. But the reality is that these are underpinned by a complex ecosystem of organizations, governance, and technologies. And they're actually just a small subset of the many permanent identifiers that exist. I think you are two of the actually relatively small number of people who have a good understanding of the entire PID ecosystem. So to set the scene for our conversation, let me throw out a challenge. Could you attempt at a very high level a description of the main components of the ecosystem, say not more than 3 or 4 minutes?
Oh, this is quite challenging, but let's try. It's as you already described quite well, I think we have some common understanding here. So we do have, besides technologies, a clear need to have national and international agreements on PID policies and in order to harmonize and standardize the usage of PIDs. In order to do so, this can only be achieved when we bring together the service providers, the data providers, and the research committees together to work on such topics. The ecosystem, as you already mentioned, we have already quite dedicated PID systems in place, are well known and commonly used. These are RORs, RAIDs, ORCIDs, and many other similar systems. But we have to, or we can actually discuss and diverge these systems in different technologies. So we have actionable, non-actionable PIDs. We have stuff which is generally centralized or governanced. We have distributed and centralized solutions. We have different resolution mechanisms in place, which make it even harder to understand how to get information based on PIDs. This comes together with the question of what kind of information do I get if I have a PID? So what kind of metadata is delivered along with the person identifier? But maybe Tibor can elaborate on this too.
Yeah, so Rory, I do usually answer this question in a one-hour presentation, and I had quite some technical details, but we do not want to lose your followers after the very first question, do we? So staying on the very high level, I would just say, and this is the very brief message, the main components are not just the technical ones. The other components of a PID ecosystem are equally important. To name some here, exemplarily the policy and the implementations, and probably the social components. That would be the main message here.
Okay, thank you. That was, you kept within 3 or 4 minutes, so congratulations, well done. next, let's get down into the forest, into the trees a little bit. Could each of you tell us about areas of PID development you're currently focusing on? Sven, why don't you go first?
Sure, okay, let me try. So, GVDG itself is at the moment part of one of these big Horizon Europe projects, which is called Fair Core for EOS. There's, of course, another one, Fair Impact, and many other projects. But we are pretty much involved in this Fair Core for EOS project. And in this project, we are at the moment quite heavily interested in development implementation of data types. So what are data types? Data types are basically additional information which can be delivered along with persistent identifiers. So we know that we have often metadata along with data objects. Metadata can be descriptive and should describe technical or organizational information. But the question, of course, is now how can we bring together all this metadata information with PIDs, and how can we standardize those to make it semantically meaningful and, on the other hand, also machine actionable. And data types is one tool, actually, to bring this information on a high machine-readable technical level and bring, so to say, information to users to make data actionable fair. So if you have description of the data along with the PID describing the data object, we understand how to use the data object in more detail, which is requirement of fair data.
Tibor, you want to...
Yeah, my current focus areas are quite various. On the policy area, just to say something about it, I'm co-chairing the EOSC, the European Open Science Clouds Task Force on PID Policy and Implementation. And to highlight some recent activities here, I can report that two focus groups of our task force have just published draft reports. One is about to summarize the results of a community consultation our task force did to collect community-specific perspectives on the two EOSC PID documents, the PID architecture document and on the PID policy document. We found that the priorities defined in the charter of our task force several years ago are still seen as high priorities. And the second report created a kind of an inventory of current PID-related activities in the EOSC context and specifically listed some existing PID types and PID-related projects that could be of interest to EOSC or are already part of it. Currently, we are in the process of setting up new focus groups. It's not a secret that we are working on harmonization of PID-related vocabularies, and we try to follow with another upcoming focus group the ongoing activities which are mainly carried out in project contexts, like developing the meta resolver, or like the national PID policies, or like skill building activities. And another focus group area is to explain the PID policy with quite some examples. Regarding the area of very practical developments and tools, I need to name here the new B2Inst service, which is a service for persistent identification of instruments. So a kind of a public service to describe, register, and reference research instruments and facilities like small sensors or even large colliders. This activity goes in the direction to support various PID types, in this case the instrument types, and to bring this, I wouldn't say new PID type, but to bring this PID type into the larger PID graph. Coming to the operational activities and to this area, in the context of the persistent identifier consortium for e-research, I'm chairing here the technical board. We try to improve some areas of the day-to-day operations. This does not just mean enhancing some IT service management processes, but we also try to add some new features. I think it's probably two of them which I would like to name here as a current activity. We are developing a small tour where people can check where the PID is physically located, so where the PID record is physically located and stored. What does it mean? The quality of service document of EPIC, of the PID consortium, describes the replication policy of the consortium, and this replication policy says when you as a user create one PID, at least two replicas somewhere in the consortium will be created. So to show you where these PID records are physically are, this tool will be very helpful. Also for us to monitor whether the policy obligations are really fulfilled by the providers. Saying some words about the area of training activities, I think it's helpful to speak about the upcoming FDO testbed, the Fair Data Object testbed we are working on. One of the important outcomes of the FDO conference in Leiden was that people felt a kind of a disconnection between FDO members and other peoples outside of the FDO community. And we hope that with kind of developments, so providing a kind of a fair digital object testbed, we will be able to support the uptake and support the interested users, the interested community members to deal with the fair digital object specifications easier. We are currently selecting some components here, and we hope that we can provide easily a kind of a testbed for every interested people there.
Thank you both. So I'd just like to pick up on that last point. I think it's a really interesting point. And I've had about your point about the kind of disconnect that came out of FDO. It was very much a theme, and then people have talked about it afterwards. And I felt myself that there was a disconnect even observing the interactions that were going on at FDO. And so I think I'm really pleased to hear, you mentioned previously to me the testbed, but I think that that using the testbed as kind of a bridging tool is a great idea. And I don't think it's just the FDO. I actually was struck by a tweet from Robin Rice, who's the head of research data services at the University of Edinburgh. I think it was just like last Friday or over the weekend. And her tweet was, it seems to me that something along the lines of, it seems to me that most of the grant applications which are being put out in relation to FAIR are, well, she thinks that these are not her words, but the kind of theme was, unless you're highly technical, don't even bother to apply for the grant. So to me, that was another kind of evidence of this disconnect. So I think these kind of things are really important. And I think generally, as I was saying at the beginning, most people really don't understand anything about PIDs apart from in the most superficial way. And so it's really important to communicate not that everyone needs to understand all the technical underpinning that you guys understand, obviously they don't, but at least to open up channels of communication, I think it's actually critically important. So I'm really pleased to hear that. That's great. So let's take an even further step back, and maybe Tibor, maybe you can go first this time, but you're obviously both deeply into PIDs now, but how did you first get interested in PIDs?
Yeah, for me, this was not a trivial journey, I would say. I started my professional career in the industry. I was a CEO and co-founder of a consulting and service providing company, which focused on SMEs, on small and medium-sized enterprises. But some and later, I got interested in HPC and HTC, so in high-performance computing and high-throughput computing. So about 20 years ago, I joined the GWDG, and I was deeply involved in computing. That was the time when the computing paradigm, grid computing, was really, really promoted. And I found amazing the idea that you can create a global computing space and can unite the computing resources of the world. If you think about it, this is somehow similar to the idea of the global data space nowadays. And also this vision can fascinate me even now. So computing was a very busy and very interesting period of my time. I did my PhD in this area, and I was a co-developer of an own Linux distribution called Instant Grid. Probably a side note here with my knowledge from today, before you create an own Linux distribution or an own PID system, you should check what is out there already, because maintaining an own Linux distribution or an own PID system is really a huge challenge and huge amount of work. So you really should have good reasons to go with your own. So computing was great, but I was always confronted with the fact that for all computing activities, you somehow deal with data. So I shifted my focus on data and data management, and more particularly on research data management. And around 2009, when the Persistent Identifier Consortium for eResearch was founded, I was on board immediately. And I was convinced that PIDs, persistent identifiers, are major and fundamental components of any data management ecosystem. Since then, I've been contributing on quite various levels to various PID activities. A side note here again, after computing and after data, I became interested in software and tools, which are also important pillars of doing research. And about 5 years ago, I was one of the co-founders of the EURISE network, the European Research Infrastructure Software Engineering Network. Yeah, so long story short, about 15 years ago, I started as an administrator of a handle-based PID system and ended up today by co-chairing the EOSC, the European Open Science Clouds Task Force on PIDs.
Fantastic. Interesting. So Sven, how about you?
Yeah, I'm not as long as Tibor in GWG. I started my career a bit later, 2014. I was an astrophysicist by training before. Then I joined the IT experts. But from the very beginning on, I was interested in data management in general. So, and I was pretty much involved in doing a lot of consulting on all levels. So consulting for students, researchers, faculties, universities, and even on bigger infrastructures. And it's in data management, of course, you have quite a lot of different topics like governance, security, quality, and other things. But at the end, we are all concerned about handling of the data. So what is my data object? How do I transfer it from A to B? How to describe it? And so on. And this is the same story wherever you look at. Yeah, on every scale, it's the same problem, the same issues. And it was pretty much pretty clear at the very beginning already when I started. And I met, of course, Tibor and Ulrich Schwartmann, who was one of the co-founders also of EPIC, that we need to have PIDs, not only for the referencing of publications, but also to supporting data management activities. So this is one big pillar of PIDs in my point of view. So you should start in an early stage using PIDs for data management purposes, include necessary information, and then later on use PIDs, of course, to reference and cite and standard publications as you are actually aware and used to. And we know, of course, since a while, we have, of course, now the FAIR principles, which do describe actually quite a lot of similar activities which are known from data management. Yeah, stuff like being findable, accessible, and reusable is things we know from data management. Yeah, it doesn't help if you just put data somewhere. It has to be reusable, and you only can do it if you understand what the data object is about. So that's why I'm joining this PID group in GWDG from very early stage on. I am doing quite a lot of teaching, so I always have master bachelor students supporting ideas, trying out new developments, doing software developments, in and around this topic, doing simple web UIs and so on. So we have quite a lot of ideas. We have possibilities to test and develop. We have the infrastructure and the backend to implement services. So it's quite interesting and quite challenging. I'm really looking forward to do actually much more of these things in the PID world.
Okay, well, fantastic. That's really, really interesting to hear your journeys. So I'm always interested in GVDG. It seems like a really intriguing organization to me, and it's great that GVDG is supporting your work in PIDs. I know it does a lot of other things as well. And obviously the work that you're doing in PIDs is, it won't be confined to GVDG. It'll be useful in a much broader way. But for those who don't know, maybe you could just tell us briefly about the GVDG generally, and also, you know, why did the interest in PIDs develop in GVDG, and why is it supporting your work?
Yeah, so as you already mentioned at the very beginning, so GVDG is an IT service provider competence center for University of Göttingen and Max Planck Society. So we have already acquired quite large audience or user base for our services. GVDG was actually founded in 1970. So if you look back on the history of IT services, basically you could say that GVDG is there from the very beginning. We have a long tradition, long-term experience on development and deploying and provisioning of services in all kind of ranges. And on top of that, of course, we're not doing this locally for our users in Campus Göttingen and Max Planck Society, but we're also involved in all kind of different levels of projects and communities. So we have these large companies like Claria for the languages, and we have the NFDI, which are currently setting up in Germany, but also all these different funding lines in the European landscape. So GVDG is doing quite a diverse things. So we are really an IT center. So we have storage, high performance computing, cloud services, and so on, as you are expect from an IT service provider. We do identity management for customers. We do also kind of stuff of data sciences, data pipelining together with high performance computing. So since the very beginning, we are interested in to be up to date with the technologies necessary to support research in general. That's why also the idea of PIDs, which was actually initiated, I guess, mostly in GVDG by Ulrich Wartmann, was adapted quite fast by GVDG. It was very clear that we need to be part of this. We need to follow up. So that GVDG is one of the funding members of the EPIC consortium, EPIC, the PID consortium for e-research. It was actually funded 2009. And since then, is GVDG actually contributing over and over again different projects to bring this idea of position identifiers forward and to bring more services to the research community. But maybe Tibor can elaborate and contribute to this.
Yeah, just probably two additional thoughts. So as Sven already mentioned, the GVDG is part of the PID consortium, and with that there was a kind of a statement for supporting the handle-based PID world. And as part of this handle-based PID world, the GVDG is involved or became involved in the highest level of the administration, of the technical administration, and on the governance of the handle-based PID world. The GVDG is a so-called multi-primary administrator, and with that role, it is credentialed to create prefixes. And this means also not just power, but also responsibility. So to support that kind of daily work, it is somehow a natural development that we became involved in more and more PID activities. And the second thing I would like to mention here is also, again, training and support activities for the users and customers. We try to provide test beds and test environments for the users and for interested researchers to try out the PID word to try out the FAIR digital object word and understand how services can be used, and also to provide possibilities them to do the research on the PID infrastructures and on the FDO architecture.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you. That's interesting. One of the things I really enjoy about this podcast is that I always learn things I'm interested in. So that was very educational for me. That is really interesting. So coming back to the broader PIDS ecosystem, what are one or two areas of innovation that the two of you find particularly interesting that's happening kind of at the moment?
Probably I can take one. So what I really find interesting is how fast the machine-to-machine interactions and how the artificial intelligence activities are being developed. When I see where the open AI and its chatbots are today, so OpenAI provides an artificial intelligence tool, basically a chatbot which has a conversational interface, and this allows you to ask questions in my natural language, and the system responds me with answers within seconds. Understanding how the models are trained and how the training data is managed and how this training data management have implications for our data management processes and data management services is something we probably need to understand better and need to work on it. And even if some scientists concerned that artificial intelligence someday gains the ability to recreate and redesign itself, and the kind of intelligence explosion could lead to extinct humanity, and AI is the biggest existential threat for the humanity, I believe that it has a huge impact how data is managed and how the FAIR data object developments in a broader sense will be done in the future.
That's really interesting. Just literally early this afternoon, I don't know if either of you read, there's an interesting tech blog called Stratechery it's a very thoughtful, a very technical tech blog, and he's leading off his 2023, saying that he thinks the stimulated by what's happened with OpenAI, but that it's the dawn of the fifth tech epoch, or as he describes it. It's that fundamental. So, but it's really interesting that you tie it into data management and specifically into PIDs. So, Sven, how about you?
Yeah, for me, the issue of the data management is still not really solved. So we know that we have quite diverse communities of different scientific fields. They all have some kind of solutions to share and handle data, but not on a larger scale. So across communities, and I didn't even speak about administration or industrial data. So it's really at the very beginning still. So what we need to have is basically, and Tibor mentioned this already before, this global data space. So we have to go to a point where we can handle data on a complete point of view. So a complete new thinking. I have in mind a browser like you have it for your computer that you can browse file objects in the internet just using identifiers in the back end. And this is, I think, one of the goals of FDO. And I just want to recall this fantastic speech by Bob Kahn. He really fostered this idea too. So going towards a global data space, this is one of the innovations I think we should really try forward to find the specification and also technical implementation to reach this point. And for that, we need, of course, much more discussions and committees coming together and talking and to find a solution to bring this idea to life.
Okay, thank you. Well, those really both really fascinating, fascinating points. So I'm just trying, just kind of digesting what you're saying. Very interesting. So, and coming back to FDO again, so we've now come back to FDO a couple of times. But then we also come back to that disconnect, which was identified between the kind of the technically or the deeply technically literate and those who are less technically inclined, but still interested in FAIR. There's so much going on. And I think that's true in PIDs as well. There's so much going on in the PIDs world that it's hard, impossible really for those who are interested, but not expert, to keep up with developments. So looking ahead, you kind of both given some maybe long-term perspectives on what you think is interesting, but in a more practical or relatively short-term sense, looking ahead for the next couple of years, what do you think the major changes might be in the PIDs landscape?
I can take this one, even if I am not able to look into the future, not even in the next 2 or 3 years, but I can probably share some personal expectations. So one point is that today several PID concepts exist in parallel, and there are several established PID providers there. I like to call them branding. I doubt that this will change in the near future, but probably they will have more unique selling points and even more tailored service offers. What I also expect is a bit more merch. So I think what we see is everything is just merging. Examples are the handle-based PID systems and the DOI word, or even the grant IDs and the research activity IDs as a kind of an envelope ID for these others. It is very hard to predict where this journey ends, but it can be a success if the promotion of that technically good solutions are good. One major aspect here is the maintenance and the curation of these kind of metadata envelopes. And the resolution information of those PID records, because someone needs to keep records somehow updated. There is a need for kind of a commitment from someone. And I expect here a lot of machine-based help, even more than we have today.
So let me just, can I ask a question there? So if you project that the usage of PIDs and the number of PIDs is going to exponentially increase, then that, and then also machine actionability is going to increase, does that imply that there's going to be a need for more compute power to do things like maintenance? And does that imply that there needs to be somehow new structures or new funding streams made available to support that exponential growth?
This is a kind of a natural development, I would say. So if you need more performance, then you need to be prepared with your systems, with your tools for that kind of maintenance. What I was visionary speaking about is more on the social aspect of these happenings, because if you have more work to do, then you probably need different kind of helps, and I expect here a lot of support from new tools or for somehow enhanced tools which are able to maintain and curate the metadata in the PID records or around the PID records much better than we do now. Also, I expect that tools and services will exist, which can make the user's life easier. So I think already have been mentioned the Meta Resolver, which is a kind of a universal resolver, being able to resolve any kind of PIDs. But I also expect that the minting and maintaining of different PIDs will become much easier. So you don't need to go to different systems and to different providers just to have a DOI, just to have a handle-based PID or any other PIDs, any other branding of PIDs. However, I would also mention that the point of easy and simple by definition is not the same at the two involved parties, because service providers and service consumers or researchers have very different opinion on that, what is easy to use. So I expect that the usability discussion will also continue.
Yeah, very interesting points. And Sven, what are your comments on that?
I would completely agree. I think the amount of identifiers used in general will increase. So people will adapt more and more the usage of PIDs for their research, for their pipelines, for their workflows, and so on. So this will come, and we can see it also from the request to our infrastructure, for example. And but on the other hand, we have a clear guideline. So what do we expect in 2 or 3 years is what some of these Horizon Europe projects actually promise to deliver. So we have a work plan which we should bring services to the European Open Science Cloud. And this would be nice to have these, to see those services actually in action. Of course, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We need much more services, not only a few core elements in the European Science Cloud, which are of course fantastic and required, like the PID graph, the research graph, the meta resolver, and so on. These are really services we need to have, but we need all the other sides. Yeah, we need to have this for smaller communities and for researchers that they are able to mint PIDs and to make use of them without having to access all the big European Open Science Cloud core services. So I'm really looking forward to the output of these projects, and I'm pretty sure there will be more funding lines be provided by the European Commission in the next years.
Okay, well, really interesting insights. I know you can't predict the future, but at least you can give some hints to those of us who are on the outside about things which are likely, the way in which it's likely to evolve. So kind of on that point, and I guess we've talked to several times about this disconnect between the technical PID community and the consumers, if you will, or the people, or even some might call them managers, people who manage PIDs or consume them but aren't actually involved in their development. And you mentioned the testbed, I think, which is an interesting kind of bridging mechanism. But generally, do you have any recommendations for ways in which interested non-experts can follow the relevant developments with PIDs?
I would motivate everybody not only to follow but also to contribute, because many of the PID related activities are voluntary activities, which means they are carried out without funding. This means less dissemination activities, and therefore it is not always easy to find their results. Contribution, I think, is always welcome, even if non-experts would be able to deliver use cases or would just provide feedback. This would be very valuable contribution. But coming back to your question, so PID and persistent identifiers is a kind of a complex topic. So depending on the interest of the people, kind of a generic overview more insights into recent developments could be get when someone check checks out the major events of global international organizations. I would name here the four global data organizations like RDA, the Research Data Alliance, COFAIR, WDS, the World Data System, or CoData, and probably the FAIR Digital Object Forum. If someone is interested in the policy activities around PIDs, then I can name here some national PID policies or PID roadmaps which could be checked out. There are some already existing one, Finland, Netherlands are there, and probably Ireland will come very soon with a PID roadmap. If someone is interested in a particular branding of PIDs because he or she is a potential user of a particular PID providers, then he or she can check the dissemination channels of that kind of branded PIDs or that kind of particular PID providers. And of course, the EOSC PID task force will also have some public dissemination activities and kind of public reports. So that would be my suggestion for those who would like to follow developments with PIDs.
Thank you. Well, that sounds pretty exhaustive. Sven, do you have any other suggestions?
Not so much to add here, but a bit biased, of course, is again to mention these Horizon projects like FAIR Impact and FAIR Core for EOSC, as I think quite a lot of big partners are involved with one of those projects, and they bring together all these partners on one table. And they will also cooperate, of course, with the PID Task Force and other task force of EOSC. I think they will have also their standard dissemination channels like Twitter and meetings and workshops and so on. I think it's quite interesting to follow those projects. And of course, you should not forget to think about the RDA, and because at least in my point of view, quite of many RDA working groups did produce quite successful outputs, which we adapted in different kind of software elements, which we actually have in place nowadays in the PID world. So RDA is really a big player here and has its own dissemination channels and meetings. And so where we can contribute on international level, but we have also, for example, a German RDA working group here, where we have in February a meeting talking about persistent identifiers again, and so on. There's, I think RDA is really an organization which should be followed by many researchers in general.
Okay, well, I have to say I had high expectations for this discussion, but my expectations have been exceeded. This has been really fantastic, and I think, I think in terms of for people who are able to listen, this helping to bridge this gap or to bring people up to speed who aren't necessarily deeply involved with PIDs but are interested, I really can't imagine a better opportunity for people than to listen to what the two of you said, at, which has kind of gone through various aspects, various levels. So it's just been fantastic. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's really a big pleasure for me to join here and to have the opportunity to share my enthusiasm about PIDs and the development of the PID world.
Also from my side, thank you, Rory, for the great conversation and for inviting us for this episode. And congratulations for the successful first year of the FAIR Data Podcast, because I believe the FAIR Data Podcast turns one somewhere these days, doesn't it?
Thank you so much. Indeed, I mean, February, so we're almost there. So it's the RDA's 10th anniversary and the FAIR Data Podcast's first anniversary. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, it's been a great first year, and this is a great way to kick off the second year. So thank you both. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the discussion. As I mentioned at the start, this episode of the FAIR Data Podcast is part of the January launch of the RDA's 10th anniversary celebration, with events scheduled every month in 2023. You can find out more and see what other activities and events are taking place on the RDA website. The FAIR Data Podcast is provided by fairdatapodcast.org and produced by Mehroz Ahmed. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Fair Data Podcast. New episodes are released every other Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. UK, 5 p.m. Central European Time, and late in Asia Pacific. See you then.